little Philip one day was walking home in the rain with his mother following Sunday church. And it finally stopped raining as they rounded a corner where, to their surprise and to little Philip's delight, appeared a double rainbow right there in the sky. "Doesn't it look like an artist just painted this rainbow with a brush?" his mother exclaimed. "I bet God painted it just for you." "You betcha," said Philip, "and God did it even left-handed." Confused, his mother asked him, "What makes you say God did it with his left hand?" "Well," said little Philip, "we learned in Sunday school that Jesus sits on God's right hand." In a little bit, we'll hear just that in the Apostles' Creed, that we have a Lord that sits on the right hand of God. And what that means is he has the place of authority with our Lord, our Heavenly Father. Today, we are talking about just that, the Apostles' Creed, and a question for us all today that you can read. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Now, as we think about that question, it's actually kind of deep. So it reminded me of a commercial I once saw back in the day that asked, "What's in your wallet?" Right? I think it was Capital One credit cards. And they asked that question because it makes you wonder, where's your financial security? If you open your wallet, there's probably nothing in there for at least some days. Could be a credit card, but then you got power. What about your heart, though? What's in your heart? Where's your security? You don't have a credit card to back you up some days. Somebody really is hurting and in need, maybe wants to know about why you go to church and why you believe the things you believe. Where do you tap into? Or in other words, what's in your heart? As we talk about our theme today about being fit for life in Christ, that's an important question. Last week we talked about that another question. How fit are we? Some of us out there look pretty good. You go to a gym, you do some workouts, you do some yoga, you look great. But as we all know, we get older, we sometimes get wrinkles, we get pimples, we get all sorts of things in our body, aches and pains. And eventually, until Jesus comes back, we're sinners and we're going to die. That's just our physical bodies, but what about our mental health? What about our emotional health? What about our spiritual health? How fit are you? Scripture tells us that we are spiritually blind, that we don't have a moral compass on our own to follow, and even we're spiritually dead without Jesus. That's what our confession is. As we move on today, our confession is just that, but we have a statement of what we can believe on. Now, to help us out, go ahead and there's a Bible either underneath your seat or in front of where you're sitting. Grab your Bible. Let's take out our Bibles today. This is going to be really easy because when you open up your Bible in your seat, all you've got to do is turn to the first page. First page. Everybody can do that. Genesis chapter 1, we heard that read today in a few verses. And believe it or not, in the first three verses of the Bible, we can know where our heart can stand, where we can find a beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just think about how much is packed in that one sentence. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, that's interesting. Seems like we got two people here. God creating, and there's a Spirit of God hovering over all that darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Seems simple, seems basic. What does that mean to us? Well, if you look in those very first three verses, you can see where our heart stands. We have a God who is one God and yet tells us he is a creator. He is spirit and he is a word of hope and promise. And the same light of the world. When you look at it, you can find our Holy Trinity right there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right in the beginning. And what that tells us is we have somebody to follow. We have somebody to understand, to guide our life, to have a statement of what we can believe in. Today, we also heard in Scripture a little bit more of an elaboration that we just heard about Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, we don't have to turn to there quite yet, but as you're looking in your Bibles, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It tells about that second person of the Trinity that we heard about, the Word that spoke light into existence. Scripture tells us that if it wasn't for Jesus, if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead on Easter morning, what we're preaching about is of no use. Think about that. We can play the best music. We can talk about all the cool things in the world. We can have the best jokes. Probably not going to give you them. But if we don't have Jesus rising from the dead, none of that matters. The problem is, we can believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but what does that mean about you? What does that mean about your body? For a lot of us, we're just like those Corinthian Christians back 2,000 years ago. We think often that our bodies are just a shell to be discarded, that what's important is not just our heart, but our soul, our person that we believe in God, that one day when we die, we're just going to be on the clouds and just enjoy life for eternity just like that. Scripture tells us that we're bound for something much more, that not only is your spirit important, not only your heart is important, not only is your mind important, but your body. So much that Jesus rose from the dead physically with a body, appeared physically in a body to his disciples, rose back into heaven at the right hand of God physically with a body, so that you have a promise that your body matters, not just in this life, but in the life that we have to promise to come. Think about that. God made you to be who you are. He knew what your shape would be. He knew what color hair you would have. He knew how length of your hair you'd have. He knew if you'd get older, if you wouldn't have any hair anymore. He knew what color eyes you would have. He knew what kind of quirky personalities you'd have. And you are here on purpose. And what God makes, he's not going to just throw away and call it junk. No. God has a promise for your physical body, and that's why it's also important when we talk about being fit for life. We work in tandem, spirit, body, mind. So we learned about God in the beginning. We learned about God and how important it is for us to remind ourselves our importance about Jesus and how he promises in our body, but something else. We heard about today this really hard passage where Jesus kind of accuses us. He says that anyone who acknowledges me, whoever says that they believe in me before other people, I'm going to acknowledge before our Father in heaven. Great. But whoever denies me before others, I'm going to deny before God, my Father. What does that mean? It's not simply just believing or disbelieving. It's a challenge to us today. When we go off to school and we go off to work and we go back in our families, when we go out, watch a Brewer game, if we're afraid of being a Christian, if we're afraid of showing our faith, if we're afraid of speaking up when we know something is going on wrong, we're not acknowledging Jesus before our Heavenly Father. It's a bad place to be, Jesus says. And even says this, Jesus, our Prince of Peace, says, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. What? You ever catch that? Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And with that sword, I'm going to dig into heart. I'm going to set man against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And the person's enemies will sometimes be of their own. You ever feel like that has happened to you? Maybe we have a black sheep of our family. A lot of us do. Sometimes we have family members that grew up when they're baptized in the faith, were confirmed, and never came to church a single day in their life afterwards. Sometimes we have faithful Christians in our family, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, that we just don't get along. It's hard, and especially when it comes to what we believe about God. For that reason, Jesus says that to follow him isn't going to be peaceful always. It's hard to be a Christian. So what do? We know some things about God. We know he's there in the beginning. We know how important it is about us in relation to Jesus. And we know how important it is that Jesus says we have to be able to speak up and know about what we believe about God. Where does that place us? How do we become fit for life, and what's in our heart? Here at Bethlehem Lutheran, here in your church, and here as we're going to teach each other, we know that we don't have a foundation that is just sand. We have a solid foundation. We call it the Apostles' Creed. It's something that Christians from the first few hundreds of the last millennia have taken and made their own. What that tells us, that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does that mean? What does that mean that we have God as our Father? Well, as a word of note, let's take a look at back when our confirmation days. It means that I believe God has made me. God has made me and all creatures. He's given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. I love that last phrase. You can look yourself as a masterpiece of God. Yes, you can tell that back to your spouses today. You're looking at God's masterpiece when you go home. But did you catch it? He has given you body, soul, eyes, ears, all your reason. Yes, your mind. And he still takes care of them. That's something that you can fill our heart with, your heart with today, that we have a God that doesn't just set things in motion and goes off and plays golf or watches TV. We have a God that is actively involved every single day for you, is invested in you every single day, and still takes care of you, wants to see you grow. He also gives you clothing and shoes, food and drink, house, home, spouse, land, animals, and all that we have. He need richly and daily provides us with all that we need to support this body and life. Now that seems pretty great already in itself. A God that cares about what he has made in you. But he's not done yet. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. You ever have it where you have a really close encounter where maybe you're driving a car and you didn't see somebody coming out and you almost hit them? Or maybe you did hit them and it could have been worse. It's probably not our just really good driver's ed skills that were there to guide us. I'm pretty sure God has a hand in protection and protecting you. All this he does out of fatherly goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. You see, there's nothing that we can do to make God love us any more or less. He does it because of him, not because of you. Thank God for that. So what do? That's what's in our heart. What do? And how do we share our heart? For all this, it's our duty to thank and praise. We're doing it right here today. Thank and praise, serve and obey him. And in regards to Jesus, it continues on to what it means to believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Lord, as it means that he has, as true God and true man, redeemed and purchased us, repurchased you when There's no way of buying you back from death and hell. We are lost and condemned, but we are purchased back, not with a Capital One credit card, but with the very precious blood of Jesus hanging on the cross. Not with gold or silver. And all that is just so that we can live and be his own. And just as he has risen from the dead, gives us the same promise. That's what's in our heart today, to know that you are loved and forgiven already, and to take hold of that gift. And just like we saw in the beginning, there is a Spirit of God that not only hovers over the darkness, but is dwelling and hovering over your heart today. Without the Holy Spirit, we probably wouldn't be here today. We would be off doing whatever we want, right? There's a great day outside. There's plenty of better things some people would think we could do today, but God has made it on your heart to be here. And thank God for that, because now that we're here, we can learn about why. We believe that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus on our own. But the Holy Spirit has called me, enlightened me, made me holy, and keeps me in the faith. And in the same way, he does that for the whole Christian church. And in this church, not just here in this room that we're in, but in all Christian churches, he daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of the people sitting next to me. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. There's an old song that says, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. That's what we stand on today, that firm foundation of Christ, to know that we have a God, and we have a God that cares, and a God that is powerful enough to do something about our life, our world, and all that's going on, and also for you. And also for those family members that maybe are gone astray or doubting and are uncertain with God's active presence. So today, what's in our heart? Ask yourself that as we consider our spiritual fitness. But there's more. As we know, we have a statement of belief. We don't just believe in whatever we want about God, but there's other questions that we have, and I encourage you to be part of one of our many small group Bible studies. We have one already after worship. We're going to talk about this topic of fit for life. But consider this. If you believe this about God, what about UFOs? You ever think about that? How does what we believe about God affect all those crazy questions that the world has? Have you seen a UFO, an unidentified flying object, or maybe an alien? We hear about them on the news. We see them in movies. What would that do to our faith? What would that do about the Apostles' Creed? Or maybe this. What do you think you might have said or thought if you were Thomas, the disciple, after Jesus rose from the dead? Are you going to believe it? Are you going to be a doubting Thomas? Are you going to be like Thomas and maybe just take your finger and peek right in, make sure that's real scar? These are some community builder questions for us today as we consider our being fit for life. But like last week, remember last week we talked about confession, how confession has a lot to do with bearing weight and releasing weight, kind of like that dumbbell weight that we had. So hopefully you're thinking about how you can use your own body weight to do just that. Push-ups, sit-ups. If you're one that just likes to watch games, you can put your leg out for 5 minutes straight and just feel the burn. For today, I'm not going to just build you up spiritually. We have a physical fitness goal for us. We talk about a statement of belief, what we believe. Saying what we believe about God has a lot to do to say about what we believe about ourselves, right? We can love the Lord with all our heart and soul. We can love our neighbors as ourselves, but do you love yourself? Do you? A lot of us like to whisper things in our minds. Oh, I'm just a dummy. I can't believe I messed up again. Don't do that. Instead, do this. This week, try it every day and write it down. Write it in your phone, if you will. Speak it out loud to a friend. Journal one self-affirmation. Something good about yourself. Something that God would say about you each day this week. And thank God for who you are. Because God is good all the time. And he's good for you today.